There is freedom from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's always good to see people sitting in the congregation and willing to come and listen to the preaching of the Word. Just a reminder, if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We want to make you feel welcome. Our prayer is that we will be a blessing to you and an encouragement. Most of all, that we will give you the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and that you too can be saved if you're not saved. If you have any questions about that particular doctrine or statement about being saved, then get with us. We have people around here that give private Bible studies that are more than happy to visit you in your home or meet you at a restaurant or meet you somewhere else, even here, and open up the Bible and show you what the Bible says about salvation. I know some 50 years ago I first heard that question, Brent, aren't you saved? And I looked at that young lady, Gwendolyn Higgins, and I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was completely ignorant of the Bible. But thankfully, she pulled out of a Bible out of her little purse that she had there, and she opened it up, and she showed me what Jesus Christ did. He came into the world to save sinners, and that was really good news for me, because I thought only good people go to heaven. Only good little boys go to heaven. And I knew I wasn't a good little boy despite what my mother said. So I had a little bit of fear and trepidation. Thank you for that word. I have that word up there somewhere. It's a great word. Would you say it again?
Trepidation.
There you go. I had fear and trepidation about facing a God one day, because I knew if it was going to be good people going to heaven and bad people going to hell, that I was probably going to end up in hell, and that would be a sad, sad day. All right, enough of introduction. With trepidation, I have chosen my text, the same text that was preached last week.
Amen.
Interesting. I had some trepidation. I thought, well, I don't know, but well, here it goes. That is first, does anybody remember? Oh, the preacher remembers. Yeah, he remembers. Does anybody else remember? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. And we will read through verse 34. He says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Without going over what was already preached last week, I don't think I can improve that in any way, shape, or form. And if you missed out on that message last week, it's worthwhile going out to YouTube, finding it, and watching it. It was a great message. It was a needed message. I really want to focus on 34, but I do have to give you a little bit of background of what was already said. Paul is arguing for the defense of the resurrection of Christ.
Yes.
And his argument was that if there is no resurrection of Christ, then eat, drink, and be merry. What do you got to live for? Just live for pleasure now, because that's it. You're just going to be worm food at the end of your life. There's no judgment. There's no resurrection. You don't have to worry about it. Just do whatever you want to do. And many people live like that today. But my message isn't about that. My message is about Paul's conclusion here. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And the astute among us will look at that, and that verse right there conveniently divides into 3 points. And those are going to be my 3 points. Awake to righteousness. Sin not. And some have not the knowledge of God. That is very convenient. Let's talk about this. Is it possible that people live their lives without realizing that there is a resurrection? Is it possible that those people that do that have been lulled to sleep by ignorance, by deception, by the work of Satan, by the glamour of this world? It's clouded them. Is that possible? Well, if they are asleep, therefore the Bible says, Paul commands, and he says, awake. to righteousness. Now, I have not set aside time or in my notes to explain exactly how it is that people find themselves asleep. That's not going to be my message this morning. My message this morning is, wake up! Awake! Yeah? And I found, in my own experiences, and maybe some of you, and observing other people, how they wake up. You can ponder that for a moment, how you wake up. How did you wake up this morning? Some of you aren't awake until you get 3 cups of Joe in you. If you don't get 3 cups in you, you are not awake. It is a process for you to wake, get awake. Some of you are alarm slammers. You hit that snooze button. And it's going to take you sometimes 5 times. And then finally, you're awake. Some of you are like me. That light comes through the window and bing, I am awake. It was hard to sleep in Poland because that sun came up at 3 o'clock in the morning during the summer. And once that sun came through, I'm awake. I can't lay in bed. There's sunshine. Thankfully, we had these curtains, these power curtains that would come down and make the whole apartment completely black. So it was night. Made it hard to wake up because then it was dark. Grandkids loved it. They loved to come over and play hide and seek at Grandma and Grandpa's house because the whole house was dark. And I didn't have to hide. I just stood in the hallway and watched them go by me. But people wake up in different ways. I can remember speaking to my grandson, Matthew. He spent the night with us, and he decided that Grandma and Grandpa are sleeping too long, so he came in with the power shades down, and he came in, he's going to wake me up. I don't know what he was trying to do waking me up, but I thought I was being swarmed by a swarm of flies. And I went, wham! And he went flying across the room, slamming into the radiator, and boy, I did wake up. Poor little kid, he was crying. He thought Grandpa hated him or something, I don't know, but there are certain dangers in awaking people, or attempting to wake them. Some people don't want to be woke up. They don't like it. How many of you were in the military? You remember how them TIs and DIs came and woke you up? It wasn't pleasant, yeah? Trash can going down the middle of the barracks there. Get out of there! Get out of there, you lazy good for nothing! Yeah, well, I won't repeat some of the other things they said, but the command is to awake to righteousness. Now, we do understand that he's not talking about physical sleep. We understand that, right? But there is a spiritual sleep that is dangerous. Let me give you a few definitions about what it means to awake. To become fully conscious of something and aware of its true importance. Paul is saying, I want you to become fully aware of the importance of righteousness. Does that make sense? Another one. Arise from the state of death, indifference, inaction, and become active and vigilant, to bestir yourself. And I looked up that word bestir. It says to stir up, to put into vigorous action. What is Paul saying? I want you to get out of your slumberness. I want you to get out of your inactivity. And I want you to awake to righteousness. I want you to be active in righteousness. I want you to stir yourself up, whatever it takes. If it takes an alarm clock, if it takes your grandson coming in, if it takes a DI, whatever it is, awake to righteousness. Is that what Paul is saying? I believe it is. I believe that's exactly what Paul is saying. I will give you an example that I think is appropriate. And I'm sure quite a few of us have experienced this, especially those of us that have the custom of hitting the snooze button. Has there ever been an occasion in your life when you're laying in bed, enjoying your dreams, enjoying the comforts of the blankets that are nice and warm and comfy, you got your pillow all right, and everything is so comfortable, and you really don't want to get out of bed, but all of a sudden the realization in your mind says, I got to go to work. I'm late. And all of a sudden you are awake. Man, you're out of that bed. You're running. You're grabbing your clothes. You're brushing your teeth. Combing your hair. You're doing everything possible, and you're running out the door because you're awake now. Have you ever been there? That is the picture I have here of Paul saying, awake to righteousness. Suddenly righteousness becomes more important than the pillow, more important than the comfort of the bed. I've got to stir myself up and march towards and be diligent and seeking after and walking in righteousness. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
The context here, of course, is the church had people in it that were denying the resurrection. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They were teaching falsely and teaching this false doctrine that there is no resurrection, or the resurrection had passed in some cases, and they were keeping company with those who denied the truth of the resurrection. Did you know if you hang around with people that do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will corrupt the manner of life that you live?
Right.
Because they will not be thinking of the righteousness of God. They will be thinking about themselves. Thank you, Brother Stephen. They will be occupied with themselves. And the only person they're going to love is themselves. The love of God is not in their hearts. The love of their fellow man is not in their hearts. It's a love of self. You hang around people that do not believe in the resurrection, you are going down the wrong road. Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Why sacrifice for Christ if the dead rise not? It doesn't even make sense. But that's his argument. He says, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Then he says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right.
You hang around the wrong people, they will not lead you to righteousness.
That's right.
They will not sound the alarm of holiness. They will not tell you about the things to come and the judgment of God. They will say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Don't worry about it. And I would warn you, sinner friend, that you need to awake to righteousness. Because if you ever see the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you will have no confidence in yourself. You will have no confidence in religion. You have no confidence in water baptism. No confidence in communion or the Lord's Supper. No confidence in religion. And you'll fall down and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I would say, as the apostle said, awake to righteousness. Awake from doctrinal error. Awake from spiritual carelessness. Awake from moral decay, from which these false doctrines lead us into, and come to the realization that there is a resurrection, and there is an appointed day that you will face God Almighty in the flesh.
Amen.
There is a resurrection of the dead. That should be a sobering thought. That should jog you out of your slumberness and make you diligent in the things of God. Make you conscious and aware of the importance, and become active and vigorous, stirring yourself up to find God and walk in His righteousness. Well, that's the context. But we find this dilemma, this sad state of affairs in the lives of mankind quite often in the scriptures. Do you remember Samson? Big strong guy. You remember him? You remember Delilah? Which of these two characters do you think falls into the context of what I'm saying today? Delilah would be what? The false teachers. Samson would be the Christian that's been lulled asleep by these false teachers, not realizing they're going to lead us into danger. If you haven't read that story in a while, you should. It's back in the book of Judges, I think around 1650. Yeah, 16. Delilah comes into him, and the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And he awoke out of the sleep and said, I will go out at the other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. What a sad state. What a sad state. And Paul, in addressing these Corinthians who are asleep, and he says, awake to righteousness. Don't allow these false teachers to persuade you that there is no resurrection. Awake to righteousness. Consider the things that I have gone through to give you the gospel, the glorious gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and that he rose again the third day. Consider these things. I fought with beasts. Now, I have my opinion. I think it's probably, he may have been fighting with lions. In like some sort of Colosseum. Because they wanted to put him to death, and he fought, and God spared him. I don't know exactly what these beasts are, but he was fighting with beasts because he thought it worthwhile so that people might know the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Jesus said he is the resurrection, by the way. Did you know that? He is the resurrection. How about this one? Do you remember Jonah, the story of Jonah? We teach our kids the story of Jonah. What a great story, but what a sad story, is it not? You remember what happened to Jonah? He's running from God. How would you like to go to a track meet and you get down and you look over on the right and there's God? Do you think you're going to win? I guess it'd be, well, it depends on who's right you're looking at, but do you think you're going to win against God? Jonah thought he could outrun God. And he's running. God told him what he needs to do. God told him about his righteousness and to go proclaim it in Nineveh. And Noah put on his track shoes and ran from God. And we pick it up in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 6. And so the shipmaster came to him. There was a great storm. Remember the storm? Yes. And the sailors on that boat, they were concerned. They were concerned, and they all began praying to their gods. And they stumbled across Noah and they said, I have it here written down. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise! Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. These sailors that knew not God had enough sense that when danger came, they need to be awake and they need to be calling upon God. Amen. Do you know that you are in danger? You are in danger of dying. You do know that, don't you? Some of you closer than others by natural causes. But all of us are in danger, are we not? Have you not, you know, heard the news, read the news, saw the news, whatever? Have you not heard about young people dying? Older people dying? People in a hospital facing chemotherapy, going into hospice? We're all going to die. It's appointed on men once to die, but after this judgment, we're going to face God. Are you aware of that? Or do you slumber? And I would counsel you, awake to righteousness. Even the lost understand it. Wake up, thou sleeper. Arise. Call upon thy God. The prophet Joel said, awake ye drunkards and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait another day. You have no promise of tomorrow. There is no guarantee of a tomorrow. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Call upon him when the gospel is fresh in your ears and heart. Call upon him now. Don't wait. Awake. Don't let your slumbering pass you by. Do you remember the foolish virgins? Yes. They weren't prepared. Look in John in chapter 11. Do you remember Lazarus? Yes. We like the end of that story, don't we? He came out of the grave. We're going to pick up the story of a story in John chapter 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, he said unto his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now these disciples had the same train of thought that you and I do. Hey, don't wake a sleeping baby. Are you crazy? The guy's been sick. Let him sleep. Are you crazy? And too often that same thought has crept into the churches. Everything is going well. We're having good services. Don't wake anybody up. It's okay to sleep. After all, doesn't the Lord give His beloved sleep? It's actually from the Lord. It is amazing how the corrupt mind will twist the scriptures to their advantage. The disciples then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Isn't that the lie right out of hell? If we sleep, we shall do well. All is well. There is no hell. I'm in my dreams. I got no problems. I'm just dreaming. What a wonderful life. While I sleep, I don't have a boss. I don't have a preacher. I don't have a neighbor. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. I don't have kids. Peace. What wonderful peace. Allow me to sleep. Let me sleep. I want to sleep my life away. Anybody has teenagers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus said, He spake of His death, but they thought that He had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And I hope you understand the difference between taking your rest and sleep. You worked hard all day, you need some rest. Everybody needs rest. Even the Lord rested on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. Yes, yes. Sleep is beautiful in its place. But when you have slept and allowed and forgotten about righteousness, the command of the apostle in the Word of God is awake to righteousness. And I'm afraid that myself included, that I enjoy the slumber. I enjoy the ease of sleep. No conflict, no difficulties, no problems, no arguments, peace. I rarely have a nightmare, so when I sleep, it's all right. But I'm afraid that has crept in, that attitude of sleep and slumbering and lukewarmness has crept into the church, and we've become comfortable with sleeping. And the command is awake to righteousness. It is as if God expects us to bestir ourselves. He expects us to make a conscious decision to wake up. Amen. I need to wake up. I have responsibilities. And the responsibility I have is to righteousness.
Amen.
I think that's what God is saying. And if there would be a sense of urgency in us, it would be like waking up and realizing, oh, I've overslept, I gotta get to work. And then we feel that sense of urgency and nothing else matters and we rush pell-mell to work because we don't want to be late. Would to God that we would get the sense of urgency, that I, as a pastor, as a preacher, would get the sense of urgency to awake to righteousness.
Amen.
Nothing else matters. I gotta get to righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. And the disciples said he'll do well if he's asleep. And Jesus finally had to tell them plainly, he's dead. Don't think he's alive. Don't think he's doing well. Look at it correctly. He's dead. Somebody's got to go and wake him up. And thank God Jesus woke him up.
Amen.
Did you know Jesus Christ is in the business of waking up people?
Amen.
I know you want to swat him off like Matthew and run him into the radiator. You think, you got flies. Something's disturbing my sleep and you want to swat him away. I know. We've all experienced, we want to swat away God, we don't like the, and in one portion of the Bible he says, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard. God, he's getting into my thoughts. In fact, we get to the place, he's not in our thoughts at all. And you know what God does with preachers? He sends them out to wake people up. To cry out and disturb their sleep. God, Jesus Christ, is in the business of waking people up. Are you awake?
Amen.
Awake to righteousness. Notice the benefits of waking up in Luke chapter 9. Do you remember this? James, John, and Peter go up with the Lord. They go up into the mount. And I pick it up in Luke 9 and verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Yeah, that happens. It does, doesn't it? Even though we're all aware of the doctrine of the resurrection, I don't think anybody in this room would stand up and boldly declare, I don't believe in the resurrection. All of us profess we believe in the resurrection, and yet there we are. Sleep. Do you know how many times we find the disciples sleeping when they should have been watching? You think that that would be a warning sign. Danger, slow down, men working, wake up, flashing lights, wake up, don't sleep, wake up, watch and pray. They were asleep. And when they were awake, guess what it says next? When they were awake, not when they were asleep, but when they were awake, they saw His glory. There you go. Isn't that what God's trying to wake you up? Hey, I got to show you something. You want to see the glory of God? Wake up. Wake up. Paul says in another place, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Sinner friend, wake up. If you haven't seen the light of Christ and the salvation of Christ, wake up. Christian friend, wake up, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why the audacity of God to command to us, sin not? There are people that rebel against that doctrine. How dare God tell us not to sin? Isn't that our nature? What's wrong with sin? Who are you to tell me not to sin? Do you know how many times it tells us in the Bible, don't sin? Some of us have the mistaken idea that once we're saved, it's okay. That's my besetting sin. There's no wonder I'm saved. Everything's okay. I don't think that's a right attitude. I don't think it's a right attitude at all, especially when you read in the scriptures and it says plainly, awake to righteousness and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Right there. Sin not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do you know the problem we have is we think sin is pleasurable. And we think that God's not offended by it. But God is offended by it. And when the devil sinned, he created hell for the devil and his angels. I don't think God likes sin at all. No, no, no. I don't see sin in heaven at all. No, no, no. And so when God says, don't sin, He's not kidding. Amen. 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Awake to righteousness. God did not save you so that you might be free to sin. He saved you so that you could freely walk in His righteousness. If you find yourself in sin, then wake up and run back to Christ. Amen. Do you remember that fellow by the pool of Bethesda? He had an infirmity, I think it said like 38 years. Do you remember him? And he's battling, and he's trying to be the first in the pool. And what a crazy custom that, you know, whoever gets there first. That's religion, my friend. Only the ones in first get saved. Only ones in first get healed. That's religion. Well, Jesus comes and heals him. Do you remember that? Isn't that amazing? He'd been trying for 38 years. Another place that talks about a woman. She spent all that she had on doctors, and finally she got in her head, you know what? I need to go to Jesus. Boy, that's a good thought. Finally, she says, oh, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, everything will be all right. I wish you would get that in your heart. If I could but touch the hem of Christ's garment, everything would be okay. Well, this man found healing in Jesus Christ without the pool, shaking the pool, without the angels. And we pick it up in verse 14 of John chapter 5, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple. Oh, by the way, this is free. After he got healed, guess where he went?
Church.
Straightway to church. Straightway to the temple. And Jesus found him in the temple. Wouldn't that be a good place where Jesus finds you? Or let me ask it in the other way. If Jesus came looking for you today, where would he find you? You're welcome. That was all free. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Guess what? Guess what the advice is now? You've been made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. It seems to indicate that that man got himself in trouble with an illness was because of sin. Now, I don't have 100% proof that's the case, but that seems to be the implication. Did you know sin will have an effect on your health?
Yeah.
Go ask any drunkard. Go ask any smoker. Go ask anybody that's been addicted to drugs. It affects their health. How many of you have ever met somebody, you shook their hand and they look like they're about 55 and come to find out they're 30? What happened? Sin. Yeah, I'm not going to say all sin affects our health. I'm not going to say that you're sick because you committed sin. But there are places in the Bible that indicate that you have an unhealthy condition because you sin.
That's right.
You start fornicating and then you get gonorrhea and other sexual disease. That's just sin.
Amen.
You drink and drink and drink and get drunk and it rots out your liver and your guts. That's sin. Sin is not our friend. And so Jesus tells that man after he healed him, he says, go and sin no more. And we don't like that, do we? We don't like some preacher telling us not to sin. Who are you? You don't sin? Aren't you a sinner? Listen, I don't stand here preaching the righteousness of Brent. I stand here proclaiming the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a beef, take it up with him. Paul said this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It seems to me that the Lord Jesus Christ has an expectation that you and I as a Christian ought to be putting on Christ every day.
Amen.
Amen. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? Jesus had a discussion with a religious crowd. He said, He that be without sin, let him cast the first stone. Yeah? I think we ought to be more busy about getting rid of our own sins than worry about the sins of others. Don't you think that's the right attitude? How is it that we, myself included, I said we, how is it that we, always, even though Christians for a long, long time, and we know better, yet it's so much easier to find your sin than my sin? Isn't that true?
Amen.
Well, one thing about that story, it's wonderful. They walked away convicted. Humbled. Then Jesus and the lady is standing there. And he says to her, wow. He says to her, does no man condemn thee? No man. Neither do I condemn thee.
Amen.
We like that, don't we? But you know what comes immediately after that? Go and sin no more. like the good part. By grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We like that part. But you know what the next part says? Created in Christ Jesus to walk in righteousness. Yeah, go and sin no more. Did you know sin offends God? It's an offense. I don't know why He tolerates us. I don't know why He just doesn't crush us and stamp us out. Thank God for a merciful God, right? Amen. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Did you know there are people that do not know about the resurrection of Christ? Right here. Right here in San Antonio. Maybe right here in this room. That people that do not know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. That do not know that outside of Christ there is no life. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no other way. It's not your way and His way and their way. It's the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. He's the only way. I know we don't like that. We don't like to say He's the only way, but that's the truth. He is the only way, your only hope, your only salvation. There is no other Savior.
That's right.
And listen, it looks to me like Paul is laying a burden on us that because you are sleeping, that you have brought shame to yourself because there's people around you that don't know the truth. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's the way it seems to me. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this. He doesn't say their shame. He says your shame.
Amen.
Did you know that God gave you and I the responsibility to be ambassadors? Now, what kind of ambassador are you? Sleeping in? Huh? What kind of ambassador are you? Walking in light? Are you representing the gospel? How does it sound? How does it look when you, as an ambassador of Christ, are walking in sin? Do you think that persuades people? What about our own inconsistencies? Do you think that persuades people? What about our own slumbering? Do you think that persuades people? It seems to me that Paul is saying, brethren, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shame. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be fathers in the faith. You ought to bring people to Christ. They ought to become your children in Christ. In Ephesians, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their own heart. Did you know that people are ignorant? Now granted, every man is going to give an account for themselves. That's true. That is a solid doctrine throughout the scriptures. You're going to give account for your actions. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we don't do that, shame on us. Don't you think there's going to be some type of consequences for His servants that He sent out as ambassadors? And instead of going out and proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming that our King is offering peace to sinners, that He's offering them salvation, reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ, and instead of going out, we're sleeping. Janice was preparing her Sunday school lesson and brought up that verse to me this morning where Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift that is in thee. Stir it up. Bestir thyself. Awake to righteousness. Paul says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's a lot of people out there that think they can make it on their own. And they're going to keep on thinking that right into hell unless somebody stands in the gap and says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going to disturb your peace. I'm going to say, wake up. I'm going to be the alarm clock. Wake up. Wake up! Awake to righteousness. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Come unto Him, all you that labor and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Proverbs it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I think we all know this doctrinally up here, but I don't know if it's awakened us. I don't know if it's been sufficient to get us to rise up. We realize that we have the responsibility. Who else is going to preach the gospel?
Right.
Who else is going to do it? The angels aren't going to do it. The law certainly aren't. They're not going to do it. The religious crowd, they corrupted the gospel a long time ago. They preach another Jesus, another gospel. They're not going to do it. Who's going to do it but the redeemed of God? Who's going to preach the gospel but you and I? Who's going to bring the gospel to that coworker of yours? Do you think Bill's going to get by? Probably doesn't even know where you work. Do you think I'm going to go? Do you think I know where you live, where you work, where you're going to school? Do you think I'm going to come by and talk to your boss, talk to your neighbor, talk to your friend, talk to your cousin? I wish I could, but the probability of happening is getting really close to zero. Kind of like me mowing the lawn out there. You don't want me to mow the lawn. Do you understand? God has given us the light of the gospel. Are you hiding it underneath your bed? What are you doing with the light of the gospel? Who else is going to tell your neighbor, your friend, your mother, your father, your sister, your son, your daughter? Who else is going to tell your coworker, your fellow student? Who's going to tell them the gospel if not you? Now, maybe you haven't had a consistent witness and that's why you're afraid to give the gospel. So Paul says, awake to righteousness.
Amen.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the old man. Put on the new man and walk in the Spirit. You live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Isn't that what he's saying?
Amen.
Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let's pray.